tell me about growing up in San Antonio here. How long did you live before you moved away? Did you go all the way through high school in, here in San Antonio? Or
I did, yeah. I mean, I went to Clark High School and I finished there, but they also, in Texas, there's this program called Congress Bundestag Austausch Program. So 5 kids from Texas get a scholarship to go to Germany. And I did that when I was, I think I applied when I was 14, and right after my 15th birthday, I went to Germany for a year. So one of my high school years wasn't here, but it was in a little itty bitty town called Ennepetal near Cologne. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but otherwise I was here. And I live just off Prue Road, which is not that far away from where we're talking now, with my grandmother and my cousins and my uncles and my aunts. All, like a big family place. Yeah.
And so, Did you know when you were in high school kind of what you wanted to do later on, or did you, when you went into college, is that where you kind of discovered your artistic side or filmmaking, or how did you get led into this direction?
Well, I think that for me, filmmaking is a lot like writing, and it just happens to be how I write best, you know, because you can use like images and feelings and all these things in a direct way that people directly respond to. So I always wrote, but I didn't ever really start using film until maybe I was 18 or 19 and got a video camera. So I started really late for, like, people nowadays start making films when they're like 4 or something with their with their phones. Yeah, but I think, I didn't really ever think about doing it, but then I just started doing it kind of accidentally. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your film that's going to be at South by Southwest. How did you choose the subject for Heimkommen? Was it something that, I mean, you had a screenwriter on the film. Is it something that they came to you with the idea, or was it, did you work collaboratively on choosing the subject of basically a tragedy that leads a brother to kind of resent his sister, thinking she might be to blame for the death of his partner?
I think basically we both had experiences in our lives that were similar, of losing people we didn't want to lose and not necessarily coping with it in a way that was appropriate, you know, and having a moment of having to let go or shift or change that. And from that common experience, the script was developed. And she wrote it, and it's a kind of like a switcheroo, because the main character is this young 11-year-old girl who deals with the trauma of losing a good friend in a pretty straightforward way, in a healthy way. And the screenwriter and I probably acted more like the brother did in real life. And it's just kind of, we were trying to basically look at different ways of dealing with grief, and you can't really tell other people how they should deal with grief. Everybody deals with it in their own way.
Because the brother is very angry. He won't let go of it. Yeah. And he, you know, he says some pretty mean things to his sister over the course of it. And so you were drawing even from yourself, for that character a little bit?
Yeah. But more I think my screenwriter was, she wrote all the dialogue. So everything that was said, you know, was, she came up with.
Yeah. Well, I loved the use of color in the film and how there's this kind of blue and grayish palette throughout. And the character of Jo, the young girl who is dealing with her grief in a healthy way, as you say, she nevertheless holds on to this talisman throughout the film, which is the woman who's passed away, her friend, her brother's partner, Caro. There's a yellow cap that she holds on to, and it stands out throughout the film. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about that item.
Yeah, well, we really worked with that because, you know, yellow is a special color and it means special things, you know. Like, you get yellow flowers, I think, when you're 6 and different, you know. But it also can be, like, joy and other things, too. So knowing that we'd have the yellow hat and she'd be carrying it with her, she doesn't always have it on, but it's always something that she just has to hold to feel secure. And at the end, she loses it, and that kind of brings the two of them back together again. So that was important through the whole film, and we made sure that we didn't have other colors that would be competing with it, and that's why the blue and the green sort of ended up being everything else, because there aren't any other colors like orange or red which would compete too much with the yellow of that. Because it's supposed to be like that. At Carl, who's passed away, is still there, you know?
Yes.
Through the hat, through the whole film. And to make sure that she stayed that present, we didn't want other things to be distracting from her.
And without giving away, you know, anything in the picture, I mean, there's two parallel lines said in the film about things being upside down. And, you know, one person says it at the beginning of the film, or I should suppose the same, and then another person echoes that later on in the film, and it's realized that this is, like, I guess what's been going on inside his own head, I suppose.
Yeah, I think, I think one of the most important things for me, anyway, in moving forward is just to realize that you can't control things, you know? And so And if it upsets you too much, you know, the inability to keep people who you love from being hurt and seeing bad things happen to them and stuff, if at some point one has to just, yeah. So it's kind of just his acknowledgement that things are upside down, you know, mm-hmm. and he can't make sense of them. And from that, like, point of, it's kind of saying that he doesn't have control, he's able to start dealing with things in a different way, maybe.
You know, a technical question here. You know, there are lots of scenes on an ice hockey rink in the film.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Is that a challenging environment to shoot in?
Yes, because it's very slippery. Yeah, and very cold. No, that was a lot of fun. This film looks like a lot more expensive than it actually was because I made it in film school. So in order to get... normally, you'd have to do a shot like that with a crane, but we got a... like a cart, basically, an equipment cart. And then we built ice skates on the bottom of the equipment cart and asked one of the ice hockey coaches, an ex-ice hockey coach, to push our cameraman and his assistant on the cart. So they were all ice skating, basically, so we could skate with the kids. And the kids are really good. They're actually the Berlin Polar Bear team, and they're all on the road to being professional ice hockey players, even though they're 11 or 12. So
they start them early there.
They start them when they're 2 or 3. Yeah, they wanted my kids. They're like, when are you bringing your children to us? But it's very time consuming, and I thought that my kids would maybe not want to do that all the time. So
do you? Did I read correctly? You split your time between Germany and New York. Is that kind of where you're based now?
Mm-hmm. And now I'm moving back here, so I'll be living here from April on. Yeah, I did some documentary work in New York, and my family, my mom and my dad, live in New York, and there's a really great community up in Troy, New York, mm-hmm. where I live, and then Berlin too. Yeah.
Is this your first time at South by Southwest, either as an attendee or as a filmmaker?
No, because I lived in Austin. I was there a lot. And when I was 19, actually, the first film I ever, ever, ever made screened at South... It was like something I made on High 8 that screened at South by Southwest. But I was so overwhelmed then. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like now that I'm more adult. And I just wanted to run away because there were so many people and... You know, everybody was like, do you want to sell your film online? And I didn't know what to do. So I just sort of, you know, I watched movies, but I didn't talk to anyone then. So it'll be nice to be like a little more self-confident and try talking to people about my film and stuff.
Well, now what do you do? I mean, you know, 19 and people are asking, do you want to sell your mm-hmm. film? And I mean, that's probably something that you're kind of more hoping for now, is that people approach you and say, well, we'd like to talk with you further about more projects.
Yeah, well, that would be great. I mean, if this film it's sold in Germany because it's in German, so it's sold for German television, but it would be great to sell it to somebody here, to screen or anywhere, you know? That would be because it would really help us make our next movie to just get a little bit of financing in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your next film is a production that's going to be based here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can share with me about it?
Yeah. It's documentary and fiction mixed together, and I'll be working with the cousins I was mentioning earlier and, you know, people I knew from then to basically tell a story of a young 17-year-old girl who's living on the outskirts of San Antonio and watching the city grow up around her. And it has a lot to do with family and just values and trying to find values as a young person when there are so many confusing things going on around. And yeah, so.
And that's going to be filming this year in 2024?
Yeah, well, I hope very much so, because if a tornado doesn't, if nothing completely crazy happens, we'll shoot it this summer. And so, yeah, I'll be casting when I come back and looking for people who'd be interested in working on it with me. I mean, we're really super independent filmmakers. We don't have a lot of money at all. So it'll be interesting to see, too, how that works here, because in Berlin, there are so many people who are, I think it's cheaper to live in Berlin, so people have more time. We'll see how it is here.
Let me ask you a question also about, because you have children, and so mm-hmm. I want to ask you what it's like to be a parent and, basically a working parent, but a different sort of working parent in this case, in terms of the schedule of filmmaking. How does it fit in with your family life?
My husband makes films, too, so he understands. He'll actually be producing the film that we'll be making here. So that's a big help, because if you don't make films, you can really get irritated with somebody who is making films around you. I work like 9 to 4 or 9 to 5, and then I'm with the kids in the evening, and then after they go to bed, I'll work again,
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really try not to have this manic schedule that films usually have, where you have maybe 6 weeks where you do nothing but work. I try to space that out a little bit, and I think that actually films don't need to be made in the way that people make them, where everything is pressed into an incredibly small amount of time. I think it does well for the films to have more time to develop, and so that's my excuse for not being... I'm not as fast at making movies as a lot of people who don't have kids, I think.
Well, I mean, give yourself room to breathe, really.
Yeah. I mean, and they do other... I mean, that's actually maybe not even true, because other people take a while, too. They just do other things in their free time than, go to playgrounds and stuff, probably.
I know about that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Micah, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.